Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs, folks. It's the podcast about friendship. It's me and Kurt Braunholer here talking about our friendships.
And that's Joe DeRosa talking.
Yep. We each said the other guy's name, and then it's, you know.
That's because we're real friends.
All fucked up now.
Yeah.
So, we get vulnerable, as you know, on this thing. We get deep.
We get soft.
We get soft. So, on the count of three, one, two, three, let's get soft. How you doing today?
Little blue, little sad.
Why are you sad?
No reason. There's no reason for it. It's just one of those, you know, just you wake up and it's, I don't know if it's gray. Is it because it rains once every month? I get sad when it rains. That's dumb.
It's been raining here a lot lately, though.
But
it's starting to feel like East Coast weather.
Yeah, it is starting to feel like
that. But I don't mind a little bit of rain.
Me neither, and I shouldn't. But sometimes it just, I don't know, it gets me down.
Gets you
down.
And
also when I have like a bunch of stuff, then I have like, I just know I have to do a bunch of stuff.
It's the worst.
I just feel like a deep, like, there's no way I can do it. I can't do all this stuff. And I'm excited about all the things that I'm doing. Do you know what I mean? But I have like eight things before I can eat food again.
Today you mean?
Today, yeah.
I thought you just meant life.
Like, this is the fun stuff that I get to do here. And then after this, I have like boom, 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 boom. And that makes me like anxious.
You know what I'm doing after this?
What?
Going to Amoeba Records.
Ooh.
Gonna buy some Fugazi vinyl.
What I would like to do is just go immediately start drinking after this, but
I have to leave on a flight tomorrow morning, which always depresses me. I can't get it out of my head. I got to get up early. I got to get to the airport. I got to get on a plane. I got to go do a show. I like doing the show, but everything else around it to get to that point is for some reason, I find it overwhelming. My special is on tonight. This will
That's right.
This will air way after that
we're
has
recording
happened.
This February 3rd. Congratulations, your special's airing tonight.
Thank you. But I'm not even I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I don't think I would watch mine.
Yeah, I'm just like, I feel like, and that's making me sad. Like, I'm like, I should care. I do care. I mean, I'm very proud to have done it, but I'm like, what am I going to do? Invite people over to come watch this?
I did it once when I first, my first late night set on Conan. I invited people over to watch it, and then I was like, oh, this is a fucking nightmare. This is a terrible idea. I don't watch anything anymore.
And on a future episode, what I'd like to do is, when we do an air it out with just the two of us, I'd like to talk about all the people that didn't tweet about it.
Yeah.
I had certain friends that did.
I didn't tweet about it yet today.
I knew you would.
I will.
Especially after I said that.
Yeah.
But I had a couple friends that didn't tweet. It's kind of bugging me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, also, did you send an email asking people to
no,
tweet?
No, you don't ask. You shouldn't have to. No, I would never ask. But
I'm going to ask. March 3rd, expect a fucking email.
I had a specific friend that said, I'm waiting till this day to tweet, and then he never did. And I think it's a personal thing. But look.
I'm happy you're taking it personally. It's just that they forgot. Just like I forgot. That's all it is.
I don't take it personally with you for some reason. It personally with
I can
you.
Act
I'm
like
being
a
out of my
dick.
Fucking mind. We're all depressed. Maybe I should just go to the bar after this.
Let's get right into our guests. We're very excited about our guests this episode. Half of the guests are here, have arrived.
can I talk yet?
Yes, you can talk.
Jesus, it's torture. You got a mic right in front of me and I'm not allowed to talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dino Stamatopoulos.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, you guys are really rays of sunshine.
Yeah, we really are.
What the fuck?
Welcome to it.
I was like, I knew this. I couldn't make a noise, but I wanted to sob openly.
You could have sobbed. That would have been like one of those, like when Fred throws the sound effects in on Stern. It just sort of a sobbing sound.
Yeah, but that's what it is for emotional hands. It's just crying softly in the background.
Thank you for being here, Dino. Now, you have we are in your the Starburn Studios, where we record, which is your studio.
Yeah, we do. Andy and I do Skull Juice here, and we record some cartoons every once in a while.
Yeah.
I guess animation, they like to call it.
Very cool space here. A lot of really cool little...
We've got a bar next door.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. I was going to talk about the like imaginative stuff here first, like all the puppets around and everything.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, no, fuck it. There's a bar next door.
There's a lot of liquor.
And I wouldn't mind, you know.
You're welcome.
Just going in there, kind of shutting the door just for a while by myself. Just kind of taking my time with myself in there for a little while.
Yeah, jack off. Do whatever you want.
I don't even want to jack off.
Oh.
I want to just...
It's a good jack off.
It is a great...
Soft couches.
Yeah, there's a set from Anomalisa.
Yeah.
Anomalisa. How do you say it?
Anomalisa.
Anomalisa.
Like Anomaly and Lisa.
Okay.
It's a... what do they call it? Now the word escapes me when you put two words together.
That should be called
a jumble. It's a jumble.
Yeah. It should be called an anomaly.
There's a real pretentious word for it.
Yeah.
A portmanteau. That's what it's called.
Really? A portmanteau?
Portmanteau. P O R T A N E A U. Some French.
It's getting real Wes Anderson in here.
Yeah. I'm not even sure I pronounced it right. I'm drinking tequila, so.
Yes, I love that the guy drinking tequila early day is like, you guys are a real downer.
Well,
man.
Yeah, I'm trying to cheer myself up the fucking Mexican way.
Dino, thanks for being here, man. So, sure. So the reason that Dino's on the show is the reason guests are always on the show. We like to bring in old friends and people that have been friends for a long time and interview them about their friendship. And today it's Dino and Andy Dick.
Andy Dick hasn't showed up yet. So maybe, is this a common thing?
This is part of the friendship.
This happens a lot.
Yeah, he's an asshole. He doesn't care about anyone's time.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the world owes him. I mean, you know, it's nothing I haven't told him, but, you know, he just texted me, he said, try not to say too much shit behind my back.
Well, oh, it's going to happen.
Because he loves it in his face.
Yeah.
Go back to the text before that when he said he wasn't. Can you read that text about him being late?
Yeah.
Because that seemed like it really stuck in your craw for a second.
Well, you know, I mean, being late because of the rain is a bullshit excuse. Leave a little early, whatever. And it's not that bad.
No,
Traffic always moves a little in L.A. He said something bad is going on all the freeways, and it's just not going to happen today. What does that mean? I'm not coming? It says I will be there at 1:25. If Dino wants to take the first half and I pop in... I'm not getting a lot in my headphones. This is my...
Can we get Dino more in the headphones that he purchased?
I think I have to turn it up. Sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you turn it up for me?
Yeah, keep talking.
I hate my studio. Is it the right one?
Well, I just got a lot more.
Yeah, you turned his up.
Somebody got louder.
Yeah.
But
this,
I just
it's
got...
It's this one. It's the third one.
A lot of you on
look,
my ears.
Look, I'm shaking the wire.
Yeah,
bring it up. Yeah, yeah.
There it is.
All right.
Kurt's like...
You guys could cut this out. This is something that would stay in our podcast.
No, you can keep it. I don't care. I was going to make fun of Kurt. It's like sending your aunt down to figure out the Blu-ray player.
I literally turned every knob before I turned the right knob.
Is it this one?
And then you're like, hey, what? What do you mean it sounds great? In fact, it's getting louder. You're both ants.
I know.
That is actually should be what this podcast is called, Two Ants. Two Ants Chat.
And then you turn it on and it's two Guidos. Hey, Two Ants.
Dino wants to take the first half, I could pop in for the second half and we could do that. Otherwise, we can reschedule. It's up to you.
The rain is fucking everything up.
My GPS is making me late. Oh, no. My GPS is making me take side streets all the way there. Well, so what? It's probably, you know, I'm telling you, Waze is the way to go.
Now, do you think he's coming?
That's the big question.
Yeah, he'll come, but it says 1:25. Expect him at 1:45 or 1. He'll come in for 5 minutes.
Okay. So when you guys met each other in college, right?
Yes.
And then you started doing comedy with each other?
Yeah. Well, I did a comedy cabaret in the basement of our college, and I think I had seen Andy the week before, and he was really funny, and I had done a scene or two that week, And as we were all filing out, he was just waiting in the wings, which was just by the Coke machine, because we were just down in the cafeteria. And he said, I want to work with you. And that's where it started. And, you know, the first year that I knew Andy took some adjustment because I laughed at everything he said. And he wasn't always trying to be funny. Right. I mean, he's a funny guy and he knows what's funny. But also, he doesn't know that he's funny when he's miserable, when he's bitching about someone fucking his girlfriend. It's so funny. And he'd look at me and go, why are you laughing? I'm like, I don't know. You're just a funny, just a naturally funny guy.
And I was just watching this video that you guys posted recently for your podcast where you guys are rehearsing a sketch about Man Bad with Names.
Bad with Names, yeah.
And it's a very funny sketch. And it's great to see both of you doing it. But then also, because Andy just keeps restarting you to like do it over again, and just as neuroses about that is funny in and of itself because it almost seems like it's part of the sketch itself.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think at that point in my life I had adjusted to him being a nitpicky little grandma about comedy.
Right.
You know, I'm naturally a lazy guy. I don't want to rehearse as much as he wants to rehearse. He's, you know, he's a type A personality.
Right.
I'm type Z. So...
Now, did that cause, you know, any butting of the heads early on?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have a lot of raw footage from those days, back like 1986, 87, 88. And, you know, I remember Andy getting on my nerves and being an asshole, and I'd look back at it. Now I'm looking back at it, and I'm a dick.
Right.
Like, Andy's being perfectly fine and nice. And, I was kind of a cocksucker too, you know, mine got caught on video. His didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You guys, I mean, it's interesting that you met that early on because, you know, you don't really see this happening as frequently these days, but it seems like you were part of it seems like the two of you were a group that became part of a bigger group that all started to move up the ladder in unison together. Like, I mean, because I think, I was looking at your IMDb, I think your first gig was Ben Stiller?
Yeah, Ben Stiller Show.
And Andy was a regular on that, so...
Well, yeah, I got that gig because of Andy.
Right.
Yeah, he really wanted me to write on it. And I think at that point, we weren't really, you know, it was tough. He, you know, we had been a comedy act, and we didn't, you know... It was a tumultuous kind of relationship. So I wasn't into working with him again. I guess I was having fun being his friend and didn't want to get into working with him.
Was there something that like made you decide that like, all right, this is it. I'm not working with you anymore.
Well, I just just the general buildup of tension when you work with someone.
Sure.
You know, and you know, it's like being in a band or being married or anything, you know, you're just around the person so much and little things irritate you about him and vice versa.
Yeah, I've been through that with friends where you have to get, sometimes you get to a point where you say, let's not work together anymore. Like, if we want to keep a friendship, let's not work together anymore.
Yeah, I did a show at Adult Swim called Moral Oral that got canceled because it was too depressing. And I called you guys depressing. Like, Mike Lazo, the head of Adult Swim, literally called me up and said, you're depressing me. I have to cancel this show. And
oh, that's hilarious.
And so and then I saw Mike Lazo a couple of years later, and we were just hanging out at a bar in San Diego, like during Comic-Con, and we were having a good time. And he said, let's do another show. Let's bring back Moral Oral. And I said, Mike, can't we just be friends?
But then didn't you bring it back? You brought
no,
it back.
No, it was after.
Oh, that was way after.
That was even after I brought back, the prequel thing that I did called Before Oral. I like bad titles.
Yeah, it's great.
It's I mean, look, there's a reason it's a cliche to not mix business with pleasure. I mean, it's...
Yeah, unfortunately, all my friends are business. You know, we're in the same business. Yeah, so
that's the
tough
part.
I just don't work.
That's the tough part.
I just buddy around.
That's the tough part is in this business, especially because you, the deeper into the business you get, the more friendly you get with other business people, where the relationship starts there, because, oh, I met this guy at the improv, or I met this guy at this party, or I met this guy on this writing set, whatever. And you go, what a hoot, what a barrel of laughs this guy is. And then you go, of course I'll work with him. And then you get into it, and then you're like, oh, shit. He's got a whole other... This is how he works, and I don't like that.
I mean, I met most of my friends. I met them as friends, and then we got into business. I mean, Dan Harmon, who I started the studio with.
Right.
We just met at a bar, and we were drinking buddies.
Which bar?
The Rustic Inn.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now we have a whole studio. But, you know, we're both pretty honest guys, so we don't always, we don't often have too much tension or problems.
Are Dan and you still buddies, or is it more work now, less play?
I think we're more buddies than we work together, you know, because it's a studio. He's got his projects, I've got my projects. We'll meet once a week for our weekly meeting where we basically just hang out and talk with everyone. I think we try and stay away from working in each other's shows because we have different ways of working.
Sure.
He likes working and I don't. actually, we both don't like working, but it's in different ways. You know, he likes staying up all night and, in front of his laptop with someone there watching him write or play video games. And I just like to go to sleep.
Yeah. You're so successful for a lazy man.
I know.
You're doing really well.
You're inspiring all lazy people.
I think I'm just likable. I really do. I mean, you know, people around here, haven't brought in much. I mean, I brought in a big job like a couple weeks ago. But for like a couple years there, I haven't brought in anything. And I was feeling insecure about it. And everyone around was like, we're so glad you're here. We like you here. And you should come in more. And I said, why? I'm not bringing anything in. And it just hit me. I'm just a nice guy. I'm a friendly guy. I do fire a lot of people, though. But then I rehire them.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
You're doing everything right.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to the Andy thing. Sorry.
Oh, him.
So how did the stint on... So you had this tumultuous... You started out as buddies. Everything's a laugh.
In college.
Then it gets tumultuous, a little tense. You decide, let's not work together anymore. And then you do work together again on the Ben Stiller show.
Yeah.
How does that go?
It goes okay because he's an actor, I'm a writer, we're not in the room a lot together, on shoot days, I'll be there if it's my sketch, I was there, I just remember one time Andy just, getting into wardrobe and halfway through, like just running around in his underwear, like around the studio and then like out of the studio and down the street, and it was like a baby.
You know, why did he do that?
I don't know. He just loves it. He's just giggling.
okay. Yeah. But you meant that he got mad at something they made him do, and he was that was his
no,
protest.
He's like a gerbil. You don't know why he does things. He just runs around. Likes running. He's got a lot of energy. And he likes showing off his underwear, I guess.
So
that was like the Ben Stiller show was like everyone wanted to take their shirt off on that cast.
Hey.
Ben, because he was buff. And then Andy has a, he had a pretty good body back then. I think, he'll probably get another one again.
He'll get another body?
Yeah, no, another better body again. He fell off the wagon a little bit recently, so.
Oh, okay.
I think he was drinking and eating shit,
Now, was that ever, I don't ask to be provocative, but
we talk about everything.
It's all pretty public knowledge, like his experiences with substances and things. Did that ever cause a strain for you guys?
Yeah, of course.
Because you're a pretty laid back, if you don't mind me saying, you're a pretty easygoing guy. You're sipping tequila.
I'm a great drunk. He's the worst drunk I know.
Oh, I see.
There's two people who should never drink. My girlfriend now, who doesn't drink, and she's doing really well, and Andy, who's not drinking at this moment, hopefully. Yeah, he just turns into a monster, you know? He has, so like, funny. A few minutes of a good time in him, and then it just goes and
I just pictured it cutting to Andy sitting on his couch with a detached steering wheel. Like,
this freeway's a mess!
It's crazy!
Bob, empty bottle of whiskey.
But we've been talking a lot about it on the show, and it was something that was always in the back of my mind, was that he, you know, he never got a lot of love as a kid. And I got too much, you know? So yeah. We're kind of opposites in that way. And that's why he feels like the world owes him, I think, because he never got any kind of affection.
Could you remember, like, the first moment where you're like, oh, maybe this isn't going to be an issue going down the road, like, drinking with him?
I have a couple, you know, waiting in a car. Like a dumb girlfriend as he goes and buys drugs and being there for like an hour and then just going, what the fuck am I doing
right.
in my life? That was a moment that I remember. That was like, all right, I gotta stop hanging out with this guy.
This is an interesting thing.
But it was more my fault. Like, what was I doing even just, you know?
Like, going for a ride to the drug.
Yeah, I guess house. I didn't know it was going to happen or something. Right. But, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of us have been in that position with friends and you're sitting. The reason I think a lot of us get put into that position is with somebody who's abusive with substances. I mean, is you
He's
realize...
not abusive with substances. He loves, he treats substances well.
Right.
He's abusive with people when he's on substances.
Right, yeah. that's a good point. But, you know, it's like I've had friends that don't handle their stuff very well and whatever, and you still end up in these situations with them because you know that your words aren't going to have any effect. So I think we sometimes think, well, my presence might help. Maybe me being there will help keep this person in some sort of a calm.
Well, not me, whatever, because I'm a drinker and I love drinking and I love drugs and I love all that.
Well, that's what I always feel bad, where it's like when a friend has, like, say I have a specific friend who has like a big problem with cocaine, and he has had in the past, and then he was sober for like 8 years. But then, you know, now he's kind of fallen off the wagon, and I know he's like getting back into it. And then it's very tough. I want to be there for him and help out. But then if he was like, but maybe we should get some coke, I'd be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't, but yeah. Could you get some for me?
Yeah.
That's what I do too.
Yeah. Andy invited me to a party, and he coaxed me over with coke, and I went there half, you know, on my high horse, saying, "Well, I should take this away from him," and half like, "It's probably great coke." I mean, and of course, he dangled it in front of me and for like the whole night, and then he said, "All right, let's go do it." And I'm like, "What do you mean, let's?" You know, I didn't know he was going to do it.
How do you end up feeling in those situations? Do you feel like, oh no, like I did it with
I don't
him.
Feel guilty.
No.
I feel sad for myself because I have to hang out with him now. That's the thing, you know? I mean, at this point, he does what he wants. And I hope he stays clean. But if he doesn't, I don't know. It's not my responsibility. He's going to do it no matter what. I have to desensitize myself from that whole area. I can't. People are like, oh, I'm sorry that Andy's, you know, drinking again. I'm like, don't apologize to me. I don't care. I don't need to keep doing this podcast with him, you know? I'm kind of doing it, you know, because he likes it and, you know, and it's, you know, it is fun, but, you know, like I said, I'm lazy. I could stay home.
This is interesting because this is a recurring theme on the show without it being on purpose, but we keep stumbling upon this thing between Kurt and myself and between our guests of two people that have similar personalities, but there is still some sort of line that one can cross with the other, you know, and we did it with Randy and Brendan with, you know, like because they're provocative and they're sort of prankstery guys and whatever. And Randy was like, no, one time he threw a glass of water on me and I left the bar. I was so angry.
That's nothing. Andy's pissed on me.
Right.
He drinks the water first.
And then pees on you.
He's legitimately actually peed on you.
Yes.
In what situation?
Like, yeah, you know, we'd go into a bathroom to do coke, and he'd start peeing and then turn and start spraying me.
On purpose.
This sounds like that was a common occurrence.
Well, once is enough.
Is enough for that.
It feels like a common occurrence.
What did you do?
I ran.
But did you leave, or did you just kind of run out of the bathroom?
I can't remember. I mean, I must have left. I mean, I am a masochist in a way, but I've had women pee on me. That's fine.
Yeah, of course. Haven't right. we all?
And it's not on your khakis in a bathroom stall.
No.
Yeah, it's in a controlled environment.
So so you guys worked together on the Ben Stiller show. Then did you professionally work together, or were you just got buddies for
no, years? Then it was around that time that he started, you know, really coming out as someone addicted and a drunk, and so I cut him off for, he says, 10 years. I don't think it was quite that long.
But, oh, he just showed up. There he is.
Yeah,
there he is.
Here he is.
He's coming in.
Coming in.
Yep.
Hey, man.
Hi.
How are you?
Of course I had to talk shit about you. That's what this whole show's about.
Yeah.
I thought it was talking about friendship.
Isn't that what friendship is?
Not enemies.
I put the shit in friendship.
We're glad you made it. Dino, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for being here. Dino kind of brought us from how you guys met up through the Ben Stiller show experience, and we're right at...
But I would also like to see, do you have, like, what's your memory of meeting Dino in college?
He doesn't really have a memory.
Yeah, I can't even remember if I had breakfast this morning.
That's what keeps me in control, really.
Yeah, you hold all the memories.
I'm just slightly retarded, I guess. But I remember more after we became friends. Like, I remember... the whole Cheryl story where he was going out with this girl.
I wasn't even going out with her. I was trying to go out with her, and she was the first girl.
You were going out. She told me that you were her boyfriend.
What?
She told me that.
Why didn't I know that?
And then
we tried to have sex once, and I couldn't get it up.
Boyfriend, girlfriend,
she
immediate.
Was gorgeous, yeah. By the way, yeah. And then she broke up with him, and he didn't take it too lightly. And he just harassed her. And there was this one moment when she was walking down the stairs.
At college.
And there was a little bit of a slight spiral staircase going down into the lobby. And she was going, Dino, just get away from me. And he's like, come here, babe. Come on. And he got on the rail. As she's trying to run down the stairs, he got on the railing, the railing, and slid down next to her, just going.
Wait, is this the funniest image ever? Just that was your approach, just to make kissing noises?
It wasn't an approach. I knew I wouldn't get her back at that point. It was like,
so you're like, oh,
I was
yeah.
like, yeah, I was a
just
a,
harassing.
I was a bomber. I was a terrorist.
Yeah. He was a terrorist. He was.
What year was this?
80. I was still a virgin, so 1986.
Wow.
I love it. Aggressive. Just fuck it. Let's burn the whole thing down.
Yeah.
There's no chance of rebuilding.
Yeah. We're friends
now. Torch to the ground.
Yeah. She always texts me about. She loves listening to Skull Juice.
She does.
Yeah.
And
she
then
gets sad when you drink.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Poor thing.
Now,
she apologized to me for breaking my heart.
Wow, you actually got an apology.
Would you call it that? Did she break your heart?
Yeah. Oh, that's why I'm tough sorry. Now.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know if she apologized to me.
Oh.
But she was, well, you know, we talked.
She's
about
still
it.
Pretty. I bet she got fat.
No, she's not fat. No,
really?
She actually looks the same. Very
Are you
similar.
Serious?
Yeah.
You know, she has a Leslie Mann kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Pretty. Just very pretty.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
she
that.
She kind of looks like a young, who's that kid from Home Alone?
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of someone else.
Rick Moranis?
Ricky Schroeder.
She looks like Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah, like a young
Ricky
Schroeder.
Like a very sexy Ricky Schroeder.
Hey, look, I mean, I thought Ricky Schroeder was hot.
Well, I ran into him at one of
those. Is he must have gotten fat.
He's a little chunky. But I ran into him at, well, I guess it's anonymous, so never mind.
Wow, he's one of the anonymous guys?
Well, I don't know.
Are they ever going to release Trump's taxes or what?
He was
those guys
out.
Are assholes,
he was
the anonymous guys.
The
they keep saying they have shit and they don't.
Because it's also, it can be anybody. It's just a 14-year-old with a Twitter account at this point.
Oh, it is? Okay.
But, yeah, it can be.
But I'm not saying that he was one of those guys. He was sniffing around the door, kind of, and I saw him and hanging around, kind of, you know what I mean? And I went up and
What's
I said,
"What's it like to not drink?"
I said, "No." I said, "You know," I said, "Wow, I could really help this guy. I've been through the ringer, and it looks like he might be having trouble." So I said, "Hey, you know, let's exchange numbers, and you know, maybe I'll take you out for coffee or something. I might be able to help."
Right.
I didn't say that phrase. Like, I might be able to help.
Right.
I don't like putting people in the position of where they think they're.
They
like, I'm
help.
Better. Yeah, because I'm not. And he literally looked me up and down, head to toe, and went, "I don't think so."
What a dick.
No! Dissed by Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah, but don't air that.
Tough luck.
I really don't care.
Don't air that?
No, I don't care.
You don't care? Great. That's good juice. That's good skull juice right there.
So you guys were working together on the Ben Stiller show. Then there was a large...
What did he lie about? But, what was his big lie?
Well, they don't know.
Well, before...
They don't know what I'm lying about.
Well, I got out here. I had done a short film with Ben Stiller in Chicago. Then when I came out here... He said, "I'm doing a show."
You mean I didn't get you the Ben Stiller show job? we could go and erase all that.
I don't know what he said, but so Ben hired me, and I said, "Can you please hire my friend Dino as a writer?" They said, "No, Andy, we're not just going to hire one of your friends as a writer." I went, "But he's the funniest fucking guy ever, and he's the best writer I've ever known to this day."
Right.
And he still was like, "We've got writers, but thanks, Andy." He can get coffee for the writers. He can be like, he can make copies and
assistant.
Get coffee.
They did assistant. Offer me a writer's assistant.
And so they actually hired him as that.
Right.
And then two guys dropped out at the last fucking second, I think the day before we were filming, to go work at The Simpsons. There was a writing team that left, and they said, "Hey, your guy," who they had now been hanging out a little bit with, they said, can you guys write or have him turn in some writing samples?" So he and I, Dino and I, stayed up all night till like 4 a.m. at Mike Stoyanov's house. Do you remember? Out by the patio, by the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Laughing and writing, and that's where we came up with Skank.
Yeah.
And we wrote a whole episode of the Ben Stiller show, turned it in, and then he got hired.
But no, that's not exactly how it worked, because... They're like, "Well, Andy's name is on this. Do you have anything of your own?" Because they didn't.
They
trust
wanted
it.
Me to be a writer, by the way, and I said no, thank you. I didn't want to. I don't. I'm just weird like that.
Yeah, wanted to run around in your underwear. Remember when you were running around in your underwear?
No.
But anyway,
I just want to be an actor.
So I had written.
Fun.
I actually, ironically, because two Simpson writers left, I had written a Simpson spec, and they read that, and that's what convinced them.
I saw that on your Wikipedia today. It said, "For the love of the show, he wrote a Simpson spec."
Yeah, I didn't know what a spec was. It was kind of like fan fiction without sex.
Are you guys writers?
Both writers and performers.
Have you written a spec recently for any show, and which show?
I never wrote a spec. What I wrote that got me my first job was I just wrote a pilot for something I came up with that was very relatable.
And did it sell?
It didn't sell, but it got me writing jobs.
Nice.
It was a little too thin to sell as a show, but it was enough to show them that I knew how to write something.
Oh, cool.
And that's what got me work, and then I did it for 2.5 years, and then I was like, I'm never doing this ever again.
You mean writing?
It's tedious.
It's boring, and I can't deal.
For myself,
Dino
is
loves
one
it.
Thing, but I can't do it on a staff. You give too much of yourself to
you
somebody
give too
else.
Much
of,
and also,
I
it's
can't
like,
do staff anymore.
I can't do staff.
No.
I would prefer not to.
As a young writer, I was excited to be on Conan and other shows. But now it's like, you know, you stay up till like 4 a.m.
I'm a writer, but I write on my feet. When you see me,
he's got all this writing on his feet. It's gross.
I like
what an idiot.
Like last night, I went up on stage at the Comedy Store with nothing. And so I was writing. My adrenaline and my synapses are snapping faster when I'm on stage. I was vibrating on stage, and I write better.
How'd
right.
it go?
Yeah. Right.
It was actually good.
Nice.
Was, good. Kevin Nealon was there. He went on stage, and Jay Moore, who's one of the funniest guys ever.
I love Jay's a really good friend.
Jay Moore's?
Oh, he said that. He said hi. I was just talking
serious?
To him out there. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah. He's a dear friend.
Yeah, yeah, he said that.
I love him so much.
Just like 5 minutes ago.
Jay Moore's one of the funniest guys, really?
He's really funny.
He's so fucking
But he wasn't
funny.
That funny on...
Yeah, he was.
I don't think that you. I don't think a lot of
you have to be a mean, backstabbing jerk to.
But isn't he kind of mean?
No,
no,
no, no. He's a great man.
He's the nicest, fucking sweetest guy ever.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, I thought he was mean.
Can I ask you guys this though? Because this is something you said that I want to really get Andy's take on, and I believe Kurt wants it too. So the most interesting thing about the relationship between the two of you that Dino mentioned was that by the time you had booked the Ben Stiller show, the partnership between the two of you as a comedy team had sort of fizzled out because it had become very tumultuous because you guys had very different working styles.
Well, and something I didn't get into was Andy and his girlfriend at the time were pregnant.
Oh, sure.
Or maybe just had the kid. So it got very stressful. And Andy was
in hell.
Andy, so you had a kid really young.
Real young, like 22.
Wow.
So Andy didn't have a lot of patience for me not wanting to rehearse. So we were kind of like, irritating each
other. And OCD, ADD, all those labels they have now. You could label me all of them. I wanted things to be perfect.
Right.
And I didn't. So he would write a perfect fucking scene, and I would want to get it down verbatim.
Right.
Like just, now I'm very much more loosey goosey, but I would over rehearse. I would make him over rehearse. We'd be ready, and I'd be like, nope, do it again. It was weird.
But I did say that I was going through all the videos, and I saw me being mean too.
Yeah. How were you mean?
Yes.
Just, and I couldn't tell if you knew we were being videotaped, so you were being nicer, but you were like, I'd get mad, and you'd go,
I'm a nice guy.
Okay, whatever you want, Dino. It was like, it was over the top.
I always have that with you, because I'm like a little, I think I deal with a lot of people like you, where I'm just...
You snap at me too.
Yes, I do. But I'm a little bit like I can just handle a lot. Like I want the other person to be happy. I'm fine almost with any fucking thing. But when it comes to us being on stage together, that I really do want that to be perfect.
Right.
Now I have a question for you guys. So there was a section of time. Dino said earlier that you claimed it was about 10 years where you guys did not speak. Is that true?
Yeah, he says it's less, but it is 10 years because we're still not there.
Okay.
We're still not.
Oh, well, then it's like 15 years.
Okay.
You're still not
into it. Yeah, wait, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of what the fuck is this problem.
So then, all right, great.
Really?
So then how did you guys start like coming back together again? Like, what was the moment that
I lost my luster for all of this? All this. I hated it. You know, now I'm starting to like it, but I'm like, that's all I know how to do. I'm not going to go now be a dentist or a plumber. I'm like, that's all I really know how to. I've been doing this for two decades, and I don't like it anymore. I don't like comedy. I don't like to act. I don't want to write. I don't want to do anything. I was turning movies down. I just don't fucking want to.
Right.
And that was a problem.
Right.
So I thought to myself, when did I like it? And I thought, I liked it when it was just Dino and I. Dino and I getting together, rehearsing for our little show at the Roxy, and people
in
liked
Chicago.
It, and it was fun, and it was exciting. I said, you know, well, I'm just going to call Dino up and just ask him if we can just hang out. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted to laugh again, have fun, enjoy life, and we started hanging out, and it was his idea to start recording us, because we right away, it was like going back in time, 1986. I was having fun again. I could breathe again. I was laughing.
Just giggle like babies.
Where was the first hangout after all this time? Where'd you guys go? What'd you do?
And
probably
how many
here?
Probably here because he's always here.
Yeah.
And this was drinking a little, and I wasn't, but it didn't matter. And I'm like, God, he just is doing life right. But I was looking at him going, he's doing it right. He's doing fucking great. He's having fun. He's the king of the castle.
Right.
And then I just became his little pawn and his little puppet. Like, he's the jester and I'm the mini jester clown on a stick. You know? And so I was just going around having fun with him. And
I love that he's saying that. I don't think it's true.
It is. That's how I felt and still feel. And so then he said, let's start recording these. And I'm like, I was like, fine. No one's going to listen. But people are listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely people are listening.
They are.
What do you know about it?
We really don't care, to be honest.
Well, it's actually easier to think that we could just sit and talk without people listening.
How long ago was this reconnection?
Yeah. Not too long ago.
Like a year ago?
Nope.
Less, yeah.
Wow.
Six to 8 months.
That's great. So you guys you're almost brand new old friends.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm still walking on eggshells around this pool.
Are you?
Yeah. Just this morning, I'm like, he's going to fucking kill me. The rain, I'm not kidding. They kept rerouting me, getting me off the freeway, going around. It's not me. I gave myself a good hour to get here, and it's just still rerouting.
You gave yourself a bad hour to get here.
But can I tell you? Can I?
He's an angry guy.
Do a little.
What, therapy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do a little healing here. He wasn't going to kill you. He wasn't going to kill you. There was at worst.
I was grumpy.
He kills me with his words.
I was grumpy.
What did I say on the text that said, please don't shit on me too much?
Well, they're asking me to tell the truth.
It was
your truth and my truth. They're different truths.
It was some mild eye rolling. It was nothing. Yeah. So, like,
underneath that mild eye rolling, there's a fucking tumultuous storm. Nah.
I think you and Andy.
What is this?
Are very similar, and I think me and Dino are very similar.
Oh, really?
You and I are similar?
No, I think Dino and I are similar, and you two are similar. You guys have a similar energy, and I'm like Dino, too, where it's like I'm laid back, but there's a real hell brewing inside.
he's merely saying this because I'm always texting him like, well, did you get a guest? Why don't we have this guest yet? What is going on? Yeah. Like, I send you 500 texts about it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't say that as a criticism, but it's like
I want things to be good.
Were you guys friends before this?
We met maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and that's why we started the podcast, because we all of a sudden found ourselves like, oh, wow, we have a new adult friendship, and that so rarely happens.
It does rarely happen.
Yeah, to meet someone in your 30s where you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to be friends with this person, and it's like a conscious choice to do.
Yes.
And that's what you guys are talking about, literally making a conscious choice to be friends again.
I'll tell you.
When
I first came in today, you said, all right. Andy just.
That's great.
Making me go up to the mic.
Dino, get closer to the mic. He does want it to be perfect.
You said, you know, we're gonna start talking about things that you guys have never said to each other. And I said, well, there really aren't any things we haven't said to each other. That's what our podcast is about. But I did learn today that you're walking on eggshells with me, which is strange because I don't think you need to. I mean,
when I slipped over the holidays with alcohol,
that's stomping on eggshells. That's like
that's just taking the eggs and throwing them against the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
We almost lost the podcast. This was an impetus. The podcast was one of the major reasons why I just cut it out again altogether. I'm like, I can't lose Dino.
Right.
Again.
Well,
did you know that? I could start crying.
Well, you did say that. You could start crying too. That's cool.
It was like, I didn't want to. And he was like, he was done. I could feel it. He was like,
what?
No, because he came to me and he said, when he was sober, and he said, do you hate me? And I said, no, I love you. I hate that other guy.
Right.
It is like night and day.
Yeah.
And so what happened this past, this recent slip?
My brother died, and then I just
I'm sorry.
Thanks. Yeah. And then, I mean, it would have been fine if I drank for a couple days, but it just kind of went.
You should say I'm sorry to me. I went through the biggest hell.
Because I died with my brother in a way.
Yeah, I had to live through it.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, sure. No, that's...
It just was not... It wasn't good.
Well, it's...
It sucked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I really am, and I think it's testament to the friendship, man. I mean, look, that's... I remember giving a best man speech at my best friend's
wedding.
I
think Andy doesn't think I'm a good friend.
You think that's
not really?
True.
I think I'm not a good friend.
You both think you're not
I'm not a good friend to anybody. And I'm not that great of a dad. I'm a great dad when I'm there. I'm just not there. I do a lot of self-care. I really do. I call it that, self-care. A lot of meditating, a lot of juicing and exercise, because without it, I would be drinking.
Yeah. Right.
When I drank, by the way, that was me self-medicating.
Sure, of
I
course.
Needed to.
Of course.
I say I needed to.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're the kind of drinker where when you go in, that's it. Like, there's no...
It would have been great if it was a three-day binge,
uh-huh.
like a lot of people do, but it just... Then I couldn't get out. I was shaking when I tried to stop.
Yeah.
I had to get medically supervised to get off it again.
Right, right. Well, you know, it happens, but you did it. You did it. The power is
for Dino.
I mean, that's kind of amazing. That, like, so
for you. You did it for
but
you.
But here's... I want to say this because as my therapist has taught me over the years, it's important that when somebody shares something as vulnerable as what you just shared, you should meet it with something. You know what I mean? So it's not just one person sharing.
As opposed to the opposite where I just make fun of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I really mean that. Jeez. But I think
you and I should start a podcast.
We should.
and then we just get tears.
I'm too lazy to start another one. Yeah. You're on your own, buddy.
But I remember doing the best man speech at my best friend's wedding and crying because I said, I know that you and your wife are meant for one another and this was true because I lived with him during their whole engagement. And I was like, I've not seen just the two of you at the best times. I've seen you at the absolute worst time. Like, really, really
dark.
Give
me one of those. Like, was it because he was drinking, or was it because it was a petty fight that turned ugly?
I remember a really ugly thing that happened just off the top of my head that I was involved in.
I want to hear it.
Where she... We're dear friends now, but his at the time, his fiance said to me... I was when I first started doing comedy. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about, like, I just want to have a girlfriend. I got to meet, I want to be in a relationship. And she said, well, you're going to have a hard time. And I go, why? And she goes, ugh, I would never date a man that made under $30,000 a year.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and I went to my friend and essentially in front of her said, it's her or it's me.
Oh.
You fucking dumb. Like, you
know. First of all, who makes under $30,000 a year?
Well, I did.
You did?
When I first started,
I would never date a man. Is that even possible?
He's kidding.
You got me. I was like, what comedy business did you start in? But that was a really
but
ugly thing.
But I also like that you immediately made, that's very Joe, where it's just like, that's it. I'm making a rule. It's her or me. You can stay at home and fuck me and make love to me or her.
Didn't work. They got married. But, and she
are
and
they
I,
still married?
Yes. They're actually really great.
Oh, he's doing well for himself.
He's doing very well.
Yeah.
But we, and she and I have grown a lot over the years and have become much closer and it's all good. But my point is I remember going up. She said to me the day before the wedding, she goes, it's not a fucking stand-up show. Don't get up there. And, you know, because she thought I was just going to make a mockery out of it.
I like that you guys are friends now, but you definitely do not paint her well.
What did she say to me?
No, she sounds cool.
She's really kinda cool. Yeah. They have a kid, and I said to her at Christmas, I go, it's so great, you and the kid and everything. And she goes, don't have a kid. And I go, her kid's like three. And I go, why? And she goes, she was being such a fucking cunt yesterday. She hit me in the face when I was trying to dress her.
That's the interesting thing.
The fucking cunt. And her dad was there, and he started laughing. And I got like embarrassed, and her dad started laughing. And I go, oh, it's okay to laugh at this. And he's like, oh, she was the same way. Oh, man, it came right back and bit her in the fucking ass. And I was like,
it's interesting because like women do have that when they have to live with kids, they're just mean to them. And like as a dad, I say don't have kids because it's just too sad that you've given birth to this thing that's going to die eventually.
Yeah, Jesus. But you're going to die.
Right.
You're going to die first.
I know, though. And that's even worse because I support her.
And you don't know who's going to die first.
Well, that's that would be so the worst weird.
That's the worst part.
If a child died. What, Jay?
Her cousin just called me.
Uh-oh. Is everything all right?
Oh, my God.
No, that's just weird that her cousin called me.
Yeah, but what's happening?
Why? But why does her cousin? Does her cousin call you?
No, her cousin never calls.
Her cousin, is it? Her cousin loves shit. Guys who make under $30,000 a year.
Call her back on speaker.
Joe still doesn't
make it. They can't hear us, guys.
On speaker. Call her back.
No, it's fine. No. But she's actually a really tremendous mom. But, you know, we're from outside of Philly, man. It's like that's a very honest. So she'll be wonderful with the kid, but then she can turn and pull you in a corner and go, what a fucking car, you know, yeah. And then whatever. But anyway, my like point
Philly.
Is.
I like Philly.
It's the best.
Have you been to Philadelphia?
It's the best.
I grew up outside.
It's a nice city.
Pittsburgh.
It's great. Everything's nice. There.
I love Pittsburgh. It's a great town.
And the best thing is,
Philly has that walk.
All you have to do is say cheesesteak. You don't have to say Philadelphia cheesesteak.
That's the best part.
That's the best part.
The whole city.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do love Philadelphia.
We have to wrap it up soon, but we do this segment here. And we kind of have already done it, but I want to give you guys another opportunity.
We have to jack each other on.
And yeah. That's how we end it.
I apologize I was late. I really did.
No, not at all.
We'll come back again.
Can I finish the end of the best man thing, though? I thought it went on for so fucking long.
Yeah,
I interrupted. I was joking.
There's more.
No. All I was going to say is, and this is a nice period to put on the discussion for your relationship. I went up intending to do a stand-up routine, as I was told not to, and then started crying uncontrollably and unsuspectingly, unexpectedly, because of thinking of the beauty of the ups and downs of this relationship. Wow. So I think that applies to the two of you.
See,
and I think
but we're not similar at all anymore.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I know. Now I think Andy and I are similar.
Yeah.
There was really
no. He
really quickly. Yeah. There was one Christmas.
He pretends to be this way. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
One Christmas, you cried one tear.
No, the opposite. I didn't. My grandmother made this speech.
Close about, the cage.
About my dad, who was her son-in-law, and she said, you know, in all the years we lived together, they lived together for like 40 years or something like that. At that point, and she said we never had harsh words for each other, and she started crying and everything, and I'm just sitting there like. Awkwardly, and like, oh, how's my mom gonna take this? And my mom just went, okay, let's open the presents. As my grandmother's sobbing and crying. So I think I took after my mom a lot.
Push it down.
She hated emotions, but she's one of the most emotional people ever.
See, that's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just
don't point at me.
You just stuff it in there. It's like right there.
Look,
bubbling beneath the surface.
I have cancer, don't worry.
No, you don't. Huh? Don't tell me that.
Well, what? I haven't looked.
But you just guess you do.
I gotta have like 10 of them.
Okay. As long as we don't know for sure.
He doesn't want to get checked because he knows.
Because I know when they're there. I know they're there.
I do believe in the thing of it's like you're fine until they diagnose it.
Exactly.
Nobody seems to be dying until the doctor goes, you're sick, know that? And then all of a sudden you die.
That was how it was with my mom. She was absolutely fine. And then it was like, oh, nope, it's everywhere. And then she was like, oh, now I'm sick.
What were her symptoms?
Nothing. She just went and just had a random, like, they checked her liver functions randomly.
Jesus.
And they're like, oh, we thank you. And then it was like, it was all over the place. And then it was like, oh, well, that's why I'm tired.
Yeah. Once I go in, I'm just going to say, hey, can you want to check my cancers out? How are they doing?
How many cancers do I have?
That's why I left my last, I guess you could say therapist. They it was a little team. There was a clinical meeting and there was a team of people and they said I was bipolar, manic depressive, and one other label. And I said, I'm out. Yeah. I'm a human fucking being.
I don't. Right.
I go
bipolar.
Up and I go down. I don't have. Don't. I'm out.
Right.
Oh, and they said, and you haven't got your meds right yet. And the thing, I've never taken medication in my life. I said, yet. I don't. I'm out.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
I left.
Yeah. I don't think you're bipolar at all.
Thank you, sir.
You probably have three or four polars.
No, you bipolar is tri-polar. Like when you think the government is after you, and
yeah,
like,
it's a hard
that's not
definition.
I dated a woman who was bipolar.
It's extreme diagnosis.
It's very happy and very
it's manic depression.
That's I'm sorry. Manic is the one. There's a misconception about what manic is, the one where you, and if you're not on medication, you think you live in a fantasy.
No,
like it's crazy.
You're thinking of truth. The government is against
us. Dino, Andy.
We got to play the jackoff game.
Yeah,
Andy kind of already did an air. We have a segment called Air It Out, where it's like bring
that's
something.
That's the
up.
Segment that I was trying to get to.
Yeah, Andy kind of already did it with the walking on eggshells thing. Do you have something that you want to bring up to Andy that you haven't confessed?
Well, it's like Air It Out. Anything
he pretty much throws it up.
I know that's our relationship. Yeah, I throw eggs at his feet, and he tries not to walk on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but is there anything?
Is there anything he's done recently that you want to just be like, hey, this bothered me, or I was?
No, I literally say everything.
He really does.
Is it a? It can be.
He'll
a positive.
Say it before it happens.
Yeah. Is there something you've never told him that you maybe want to tell him?
It could be a positive thing. It doesn't
right
have
now
to be.
In this vulnerable moment, Dino.
I think I tell you the positive. You don't remember.
He does. He hugged me once.
I hugged him the other day.
Once.
Yeah.
I hugged him the other day. I was actually going to bring that up just now because I'm like, I was stunned how shocked you were by the hug.
He went like this, and I'm like, what is he doing?
Does he need a big ball?
Flight?
Yeah. Well, I was happy to see him, and I was happy to see him clean, and I really do enjoy him a lot when he's clean, and, you know, he's
we also do have fun when we drink. Don't lie. Sometimes we have fun.
Well, who
drink.
Doesn't?
It goes south fast.
I
have to leave that back door open.
The southern, it goes to the south pole of his many poles.
Yeah. I'm probably going to drink again.
I know you are. Of course you are.
I can't wait.
Drinking is
he's
bad.
He's drinking right now. You know that.
Oh, we know.
It's tequila, right?
Smells like tequila.
I'm taking a tequila bubble bath.
He told us we were depressing him as he was sipping a tequila at 12:15.
Tequila is an upper, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
No, really. I know. Guys, cool.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You guys are fun. Thank you.
You guys are great. Please plug your show.
Well, it's
and
called
whatever.
Skull Juice. And I was thinking about Skull Juice this morning. We're going to start doing a live show on a weekly basis over at the Starburns Castle. Every week, once a week. We don't know what day yet. So we're going to do the live show like we used to do when we were 20.
With sketches.
With sketches and this and that.
We'll probably be sitting a lot more.
One of the first scenes we ever did was called Skull Juice. It's about a 3-minute scene that he hates. I still fucking love it. And it's visual. It's weird. It's more like performance art. And the ending of Skull Juice can be changed. So every week we do it, it can be different.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I also
has props and liquid, and it's just weird.
I love it.
Yeah.
Can I plug my stuff?
Oh, God.
Please.
Do you have 5 more minutes? He's got a lot of
I have
stuff
a
going
the
on.
World's first graphic novel is out.
Trent.
Written by me, Trent. And it's called Trent, and it's the artwork is by Leah Ticcioni. And
Leah's my friend.
Oh, you know Leah?
Yeah.
It is Ticcioni, right? Or is it Ticcioni?
I believe. I was never exactly sure how to say it.
Me neither.
She's been telling me about this for years.
It's finally out.
It's a hardback.
In fact, I brought a copy, one copy.
Oh, that's so cool.
A hardcover. A graphic novel.
And then you could download
the
songs.
It's a musical. Yeah, you download some. When you see that they're singing and there's little notes by the bubble.
And it's also
talking,
in color. Like it's black and white until the songs come
up. And you download
up.
And
oh, nice.
listen
oh, that's
to the,
great.
That sounds great.
Isn't that
she's
weird
a really
cool?
great artist.
Yeah.
Dino is so beautiful. Creative.
She's great, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote all the songs.
And then you go on the Starburns website. I forget what the
I was supposed
URL.
To be in it, but I was incapacitated.
He was sick. He had a little tickle in his throat. And
yeah.
He couldn't sing the songs.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. No.
Son of a bitch.
A little tickle.
Well, anyway, bye, Trent, because it ain't exactly selling like hotcakes.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.